We give you praise and honor and glory today. Thank you, Paul, for that beautiful song. And he's leaving the sanctuary now, and I was just going to brag on him some. Paul's solo ministry, and I've told him this, I believe he's one of the finest soloists and anointed soloists that I can think of that I've ever heard in a church service at a local level. I think he has just a tremendous voice and a tremendous anointing on him when he sings, and he is a blessing. We appreciate you, Paul, as we appreciate Michelle and all the work that the praise and worship team does. My, how anointed they are. I tell you, been in revival the last two nights. I was privileged to preach up in Alger, Ohio, and Phyllis was there with us both nights, her and Mike. There's Mike back there. And my God gave us revival. And the people that sang, they were they loved the Lord, and they were talented. But, you know, I was thinking as I was listening to them sing, I thought, there's no place like home. You know, I would put our singers up against anybody, anywhere, because I think they're that good and anointed. And I enjoy these folks' ministry, but I'd take our people any day of the week. But it was good to be there. Last night, I believe the Holy Spirit moved in a very special way, and the pastor's son and daughter-in-law, who he had been praying for quite a time, came and gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise God for that, and it was just a move of the Holy Spirit. Very small church numerically. It was packed both nights we were there as far as place to sit. Last night they actually had about eight people that had to stand up along the back wall. And I'll share something that I thought was kind of humorous that happened on Friday night. Again, it wasn't quite as crowded Friday night as it was last night, but any event still had a significant crowd there, not many open seats. And it's a very narrow building. And the bathrooms were located directly behind the pulpit. And I'd say as far as the width of the building, it was probably not much wider than this section right here. Would you say, Mike? Probably about that. And all they had was a center aisle. And you all know me. I'm an evangelist at heart. And on Friday night, I was really given what I thought to be an anointed altar call. And God was moving. I don't mean to minimize that. But I saw two or three people get up as I said, come now, come now. And I saw two or three of them get up and come. And I said, look, God's moving. People are coming to the altar. And they all walked right on by me and went to the restroom. So, but there still, praise God, were some other ones that came to the altar. That's just, you had to discern. You had to have the spirit of discernment to figure out which ones to pray for as they came up, because you didn't know if they were coming to the altar or coming to the restroom. So, but God blessed us with a wonderful, wonderful series of meetings. And, you know, something, I don't know, I just feel impressed with the Lord to share with you all right now. It was at a gentleman's name, maybe some of you met him. Pastor Tex is his name. I don't even know his last name, I don't think. But they really love the Lord up there. And I saw a heart in him that I hadn't seen before. And I've had to repent on Friday night sitting on the stage, because I thought, Lord, I came down in my mind, I came down too hard on this brother, because I thought sometimes he was a little bit too theatrical in some of the things he did in praise and worship. And I come to see that that's just this man's heart. And at the time I'd first met him, he was just coming into the message of the cross. And he has grown significantly since he first has heard that message. And I just come to see that that's just him. That was just his heart. He loves the Lord. He ain't ashamed to praise God. And I've thought, hey, I was wrong. And I said, Lord, forgive me for being too hard in my spirit upon my brother who loves the Lord. And but it was a privilege to be in his church. God gave us a great revival, and it refired me being up there and just being a part of it. But it's good to see you all here this morning on Sunday morning. If you have your Bibles, let's go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And today is going to start, I don't know how long the Lord's going to have me on this subject, but I believe the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of the Holy Spirit, has given to me, and you're going to have to judge it for yourself, very specific instructions about what he wants us to do as a church, to spread the glorious message of the cross. And like the message of the cross itself, it's nothing new. It's all right here in the Word of God. And that's what confirms to my heart that God has spoken to me. And you all know I don't say things like that lightly. I take that very, very seriously. But I do believe the Lord has spoken to me and given me his plan for Crossway Community Church to cause us to further the gospel and to see souls saved and brought into the kingdom of God. So let's begin at John chapter 2. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 35. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? John chapter 2, beginning at verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found Messiah," which is, being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, a city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I have said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of taking the gospel to your world. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you for what you're even now doing with this local body. Lord, I thank you for revival fires that are burning even now, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you have given, I believe, a vision. Not my vision, your vision, Lord, for winning souls into your kingdom. And it's your way and it's your word, Lord. It's nothing new. And Father, I just pray that in the name of Jesus, in the coming weeks and months, that you will ignite by the power of your Spirit a hunger in every individual who knows and understands the message of the cross and attends this local body regularly. I pray you will ignite in us all a fire, Holy Ghost fire, to see souls saved. Give us a burden for souls, Lord, for that's your heartbeat. And Lord, give us Holy Ghost boldness, not obnoxiousness, Holy Ghost boldness and anointing, Lord, that when you give the opportunity and the door opens to further the gospel to whomever and wherever you lead us, that Lord, we would not be slothful and hold back in sharing the message of the cross with everyone you give us an opportunity to share it with. Lord Jesus, equip us. Lord, anoint me in the coming weeks, days, and months, Lord, to transmit your plan and your method, Lord, to win souls. Lord, help me to break it down and make it clear that each and every child of God who has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ is completely qualified to carry this glorious gospel and to preach it to their world. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. There was a young army private by the name of Wesley Clark. He had most of his life wanted to join the army and become a part of the military. Well, finally the day came, he was inducted, and he just wanted to be a soldier. He went through his basic training, and he was quite proud once he graduated the basic training in the army. And they made him, though, a supply clerk, was what the army decided his function would be while serving. And one day, he got some orders, and the orders told him that he was to report to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and take part in a parachute jump exercise. The only problem was that Wesley had never had any type of parachute training at all. It was a clerical error. But Wesley, because of his heart, and because of his desire to want to be a good soldier and obey and do to the best of his ability whatever he could do, he picked up his orders, he packed his duffel bag, off he went to Fort Bragg, presented the orders to the sergeant there. They issued him a parachute and put him on a plane, and Wesley jumped out of the plane, parachuted safely to the ground. It wasn't until some days later, and this is a true story, it was discovered that his orders had been an error. And they asked him, they said, "Why on earth did you do this?" He said, "I joined the army because I love my country, and when I made the decision to join, I decided that I would do whatever my superiors asked me to do, and I would obey them without question." And they went ahead and sent him through. He did so good on the parachute jump. Then they went ahead and sent him through their training program, and he ultimately became a paratrooper in the United States Army. They moved him from being the supply clerk to being a paratrooper. He would have never known, had he not obeyed, what kind of ability, natural ability, he possessed as a parachutist. And I've never jumped out of a plane before. Never wanted to jump out of a plane. I've sat on the back of a C-130 where the Army guys run out the back of it. And I remember one time there was a guy on a C-130. He's called the loadmaster. He stands in the center of the plane, and he motions like this as the paratroopers go running out the back of the plane. Well, we didn't know this, but this bunch of Army guys, sometimes they can, I didn't know their minds, being an Air Force guy. Those of us in the Air Force, we were soft and easy, you know. While the Army was staying in tents, the Air Force stayed in hotels. While the Army ate K rations, we got per diem and TDY pay to go out to the local Ponderosa, you know. So their mentality was totally opposite of mine as an Air Force personnel. But unbeknownst to us, this particular group of paratroopers from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, loved to make bets on whether or not they could take the loadmaster out the back of the plane, the last two of them. And I remember standing there watching all these men go out from just the foot of the flight deck, and all of a sudden the loadmaster goes like this to the last two of them, and the loadmaster had to wear a parachute as a safety precaution. He was trained in being a parachutist because he stood at the very back of the ramp of the plane when it was open, motioning these guys to go out. And I remember glancing down the aisle, and I looked back quickly to the flight deck and looked again, and all I saw dangling from the back of the plane was a pair of headsets. and I tripped out. I went and told the guy, I said, the load fell out. The load fell out, and that being short for loadmaster. And they looked back and circled around. Sure enough, those last two Army guys each of them had grabbed him under each arm and took him on out the back of that plane with them. And thank God he had a parachute on, but that was a game that they played. But in any event, Wesley did what he did out of pure obedience because he wanted to follow what his superiors told him to do. Jesus gave the church a mandate. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That mandate and that mission was not given just to preachers. It was given to everyone who knows and understands what Jesus has done for them at the cross. We are responsible for transmitting the gospel to our world. Every one of us has a different world. Every one of us has a different sphere of influence. Every one of us has different people that the Lord is going to place in our path to preach the gospel to. And the Lord is going to give opportunities. If we'll set our hearts to want to obey what the Lord said to do, we're going to get opportunities. I was thrilled even this morning as the Holy Spirit's been directing me in this realm to hear Linda. Linda, can I share that story? It's beautiful. Linda, if I get any of it wrong, you feel free to jump in. It's just, I don't know how much of a message this is this morning, as it is a teaching and just a harbinger, I guess, of what I believe the Lord wants us to do in the coming weeks and months. Linda was listening to one of the CDs of the services, and she was getting blessed. In other words, the Holy Spirit was falling upon her. And you know, the presence of the Holy Spirit can't be denied. When His presence is on you, and bear in mind this, child of God, His presence never leaves you as a blood-washed saint of Jesus Christ. The world will recognize that. His presence is so arresting and so beautiful and so sweet and so peaceful that it cannot be denied. And Linda's sitting there with her headsets on at work, listening to a tape of the service, being blessed, the Holy Spirit falling on her. Had one lady come up to her who's really quiet, and the Lord spoke to Linda, and is this right, Linda? And said, Oh, okay, the Lord spoke to you and said, "Go to her and introduce her to Jesus." Is that the word you used? Now, right then, Linda got a command from God. Really? She could have said no. She could have let the enemy say, "Well, she'll think you're foolish," or "She'll think you're crazy." But Linda got up and went. And this lady, who, if I'm relating the story correctly, Linda said is very, very quiet, hardly ever speaks to anybody. And Linda went to her and asked her and said, "Rita, has anybody ever introduced you to Jesus?" Now, bear in mind, church, this is what inspired me so about Linda's story. We're in the United States of America. I would like to say we're gospel saturated in this country, but really the more correct thing today to say would be we're religiously saturated in this country. There's not enough of the real gospel being preached. But in any event, Linda went to her and said, "Can I introduce you to Jesus?" And she said, or "Has Skip ever introduced you to Jesus?" Is that what it was, Linda? Okay. And I just got this. This is hot off the press, church. Linda didn't know what I was going to be preaching on this morning. But Linda then asked her, "Has Skip introduced you to Jesus?" And she said, "No." And then Linda said, "Can I introduce you to Jesus?" And she said, I'd like to hear about him. Or I'd like to know him. And Linda told her the gospel. Now, I don't say this to demean Linda. I'm not a great theologian myself. But Linda don't have three or four letters after the end of her name from a theological seminary. You get my point? In the text this morning, what you saw transpiring is all the Lord requires of us. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. It's that simple. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. And then simply tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Linda just simply related to her of how Jesus had died on the cross for her and shed His blood for her, and how His blood could wash away all of her sin, and that she would be forgiven and she would be right with God if she gave her heart and life to Jesus and placed her faith in what He had done for her at the cross. And Linda prayed and led her to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a hand of praise. That, I know the Holy Spirit, Linda, moved in that situation far greater than any of us ever know. God engineered that to illustrate that which he wants this entire body to do. It's been some, I guess, about 7 years now for those of you that are in this church. I've been your pastor. And during that 7 years, I believe with all of my heart, the Holy Spirit has educated us in the Word of God. During that time, we have learned the glorious message of the cross. Now it's time for us to take that message to our world, just like God used Linda to do it. This is God's plan for Crossway Community Church, as far as our part in furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? This is something everybody can do. You might be thinking, well, Pastor, I'm not qualified to do that. Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? Then you're qualified to do it. Hallelujah. This is something all can do. God won't ask us to do something we cannot do. And if we'll just go in obedience to him, just to say, Lord, you told us to do this. We have been privileged to hear and set under the greatest message this world will ever hear, the message of Christ and him crucified, and we're going to take it to our world. And our world is whoever you open up a door and wherever you open up a door for us to share this glorious message. And it's time, church, for us to go forward in the name of Jesus and to not hold back when he gives us a chance and to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a mindset. I dare say that we all get opportunities that we miss to spread the gospel because we're not thinking of it as we should all the time. Every day I've been praying over the past month or so, Lord, everybody that attends our church that knows and understands this message, when you wake us up in the morning, give us a mind to praise you first of all for what you've done at the cross. And then secondly, Lord, keep me sensitive today to who you're going to send across my path that I can tell this glorious message to. And I'm here to tell you, I believe I have marching orders from the Lord on this. I believe I have revelation from the Lord on this. If we'll set our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds to think as we ought to be thinking, I believe there's going to be multiplied by the hundreds what Linda just had happen to her this week. Because this is something God wants, church. Jesus Christ went to the cross for this very reason that I'm preaching to you this morning. And it is so simple. Like the message of the cross, we in the church have a tendency to stumble over it. My Lord, I thank God for Michelle's heartbeat, and she has a desire to reach out to people. And we went and we did those outreaches downtown on the square, and I've shared with you before, it's somewhat humorous, but we put a lot of hard work into it, giving out candy bars and snacks and coffee and hot chocolate, and we couldn't even get the homeless to show up to it. And ever since then, that impacted me greater than any of you know. It bothered me bad. I thought, Lord, something's wrong here. We're doing something wrong. And you know, we can do something and love the Lord and be well-intentioned in it. But if it's not his particular plan or his particular calling for that body, it's just simply not going to work. But what I'm preaching to you this morning, the simplicity of it, is what I believe with all of my heart God has given for this body to do, is to take the gospel to our world. And what does that mean? Some people, that scares when you hear something like that, because the command of Jesus, if you look at it from too broad a perspective, it's overwhelming. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's simple, but it can be overwhelming. And I thank God for men like Brother Swaggart, you know, who are called to mass evangelism. Not everybody has that kind of call. We, all Christians, though, have the call to take the gospel to their world, to their individual world, to their sphere of influence, when God gives the opportunity. Now, how many times have you seen it where, I can remember growing up in church and hearing all these folks that they'd just be obnoxious about spreading the gospel. I wouldn't have listened to them for anything in the world. Because they, you know what the focus was on? It was on them. Bless God, I'm bold. I'm bold. You need to pray for Holy Ghost boldness. No, you need to pray for your obnoxiousness is what we need to pray for. Because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He is gentle. And just like with Linda, Linda didn't have to do it loud. She didn't have to shout all over the plan or put on some ostentatious display. She went when the Holy Ghost urged her and took the gospel to her world. I can't preach a better illustration than that. I told Linda, I said, Linda, I believe I'm going to let you preach this morning. Because I said, you've hit the very, what happened to her illustrates God's plan for us as a body. And it's what he wants us to do. And he will help us do this. You're going to find abilities and skills that you never knew you had to talk and to further this gospel. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will anoint anybody who carries this gospel. You might say, I'm not a good speaker. Moses tried that excuse. It won't work. What we need to do is get the focus off of us, as we've always been taught, and place it on Jesus and on Holy Ghost power. And if you know enough to tell somebody you're a lost and dying sinner, now that ain't going to make a lot of folks happy, to be honest with you. But when God gives you the opportunity, they'll listen to you. There are three elements to every salvation. Three. I want you to listen closely to me, because this is going to be the basis of what I'm going to be covering over in the coming messages. Number one, there must be Holy Ghost conviction. And the question would be, how on earth do you bring about Holy Ghost conviction? And what is a Holy Ghost conviction? Let's define that for a minute. Holy Ghost conviction is the Holy Spirit moving upon that sinner's heart and life to convince them you're lost and you're not right with God. In its simplest form, that's Holy Ghost conviction. That has to occur before anybody can get saved. It's like the great evangelist Dwight L. Moody said. He said, if I can get them lost, I can get them saved. You see, that's the problem with most of humanity. They are very self-righteous, very self-centered, and that's anchored in the sin nature, of course. And they want to believe they're right with God. That's why most people just believe if you die young or just because they love you a whole lot and you pass on, you went to heaven. That's man's idea of God's righteousness and judgment. And it is such a daunting task to convince somebody. Most people anyway, some a little bit easier than others, but it's hard for every human to admit I'm lost before God and I'm incapable through my own efforts of ever changing my standing before God. That's Holy Ghost conviction. That has to be there before anybody can get saved. There must be an awareness that they're lost and they can't help themselves as far as being made right before a holy God. That's Holy Ghost conviction. That's something you and I cannot do of our own volition. You see, it all takes the power of the Spirit to bring about a salvation. But then what is our mission in that? There's where God has given us, as the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Galatians chapter 5, when he said the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. The best way when you're witnessing to a person to bring Holy Ghost conviction down on them is, and you've seen me do this at my altar calls. The Lord's already shown me this some months back. You ask that person, are you right with God? Are you right with God? Now you're going to get a myriad of answers on that. Some are going to say, yeah, I'm right with God. Point number two, you need to ask them, why do you think you're right with God? What makes you right with God? And again, you're going to get a plethora of answers. Well, I try to be a good person. I go to church on Christmas and Easter. I do, this and that. And you, as someone who knows and understands the cross, then knows that don't make them right with God. That all have sinned. Some very simple scriptures you can use. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That one right there. And say, here's what God means. Take them to the Ten Commandments. Have you kept all of these? Your whole life? Never failing on a one of them? You're going to see people start to get real uncomfortable when you do that. It's the law that convicts. That's what Paul was meaning when he said the law is our schoolmaster, is the one who convinces us, in essence, of our need for Christ. That's Holy Ghost conviction. This is real simple, church. I pray you're not sitting there thinking, well, Pastor, this is nothing earth-shattering. You know, the first time before I really got a hold of me and the Holy Spirit gave me the revelation and I heard the message of the cross, in my pride, I thought, well, I've known that my whole life. But then I heard Brother Swaggart preach it in the way of the believer after conversion. And then I thought, oh, now I see. Now I see. No wonder I've walked around in condemnation my whole Christian experience. No wonder I've walked around in my what I thought when I thought I was supposed to have joy unspeakable and full of glory and did at times, but other times I felt as miserable as I did before I was saved. But then I saw it's not my righteousness, it's not my holiness, it's Jesus Christ's righteousness and holiness. And I'm in Him, hallelujah. By faith I'm in Him. I've been baptized into His body and into His finished work on the cross. I've been baptized into His resurrection, glory to God. And that's liberating. But the first thing that must take place is Holy Ghost conviction. That person must be convinced. I'm not right with God, and there's nothing I can do to make myself right with God. And the Ten Commandments, study them, memorize them. They're not hard. Memorize those Ten Commandments if you want to become a soul winner. And they'll bring conviction. And then it's easy. Once that person tells you, well, no, I haven't kept all of them. Write to Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Then you're not right with God. Then that person, and I'll guarantee the Holy Spirit's going to be moving and help you to do this. I'll guarantee it. It's the heartbeat of God. At that point of time, you get to tell them the message of the cross. There's where the fun stuff comes in for the believer. Holy Ghost conviction ain't fun for nobody. I'm here to tell you. It'll make people mean. It'll make people angry, especially religionists. I can tell you that firsthand. Religionists hate the message of the cross. That's why when the cross of Christ is preached, I can tell you right now who's into religion and who loves Jesus by how they respond to the message of the cross. And now you can tell them, but I've got good news for you. Although you've fallen short of God's glory, as I have, as we all have, that's what necessitated Jesus Christ going to the cross for you and shedding His blood. And by placing your faith in what He did for you on the cross, according to, and you can memorize portions of Romans 6 and 7. According, and I'm not going to take time to go into it today, but you can present that to them and say, because of your faith in Christ and what He did for you on the cross, when God looks at you, if you give your life to Jesus and trust in His shed blood to cleanse your sin, you're in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all is made new. Now think of that. And you can tell them, that's why you need Jesus. And after then, the Holy Spirit, if you've brought them that far, I'll guarantee you the Holy Spirit has done His work. And you can say, will you pray with me now to receive Jesus? So you convict. Secondly, you converse the message of the cross. And lastly, you allow the Holy Spirit as you pray with that person to convert them to Jesus Christ and Him crucified as you lead them in that sinner's prayer. And something that has to be done when you're leading them in that sinner's prayer, you've got to get them to repent of their sin. If they're not willing to repent, there's going to be no help from God for them. If they can't admit, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of your help, then there's not going to be a real born-again experience. But when you've got them, if you've taken them all this way to this point in time, you're there already. The Holy Spirit's done His work. They'll pray with you. And you say, simply lead them, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I asked your blood to cleanse me from sin. You've heard me pray it with people 100 times before. I place my faith and trust in what you did for me at the cross. I give you my life. Folks, that is exactly what happened in John chapter 2 that we just read. And you know, I've heard it said before, and I believed it for a long time. As I studied this, I've come to see it's wrong. my theology was wrong on. How many times have you heard it say, well, it's so hard to witness to a family member? Anybody? I believe I've got some revelation on that now. Hang on with me here for a minute. The reason it's so hard to witness to somebody who knows you very, very well is they know your faults and they know your failures. Amen? And isn't that the first thing they bring up? But here's where you've got to pull the carpet out from under them. Yeah, but that's not the issue at hand. My failures are under the blood of Jesus. Are yours? Do you see that? Do you see what Satan's trying to do there? He's trying, and he's been very successful at convincing the church and believers in this. He's getting them to shift the focus and getting you to shift your focus off of Christ onto you. And once that occurs, you're toast. You're beat. You're defeated. You got nothing left to tell that person because they know what a scoundrel you are. They know what a scoundrel I am if they're close to me. Oh, now come on, I'm preaching a whole lot better than y'all letting on. They know our faults and failures. But there is where you must get them off of that issue and get them on to Jesus Christ, because what did we just read in John chapter 2? Every one of these folks was related. Andrew, the day after John made that glorious announcement, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." The Bible we read this morning said the next day it happened again. John pointed him out again and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And Philip saw it. He got a revelation. This is the Messiah. Or Andrew, excuse me. And what did Andrew do? He went and found Simon Peter, his brother, and said, "Hey, I found Jesus. I found Jesus." Hallelujah. That's all it takes, church. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Convict them with the law. Converse the message of the cross and allow the Holy Spirit to convert them out of darkness into light, out of sin into salvation. God will help us do this if we'll do it. Hallelujah. And it's simple and it's easy. And it's what's going to grow Crossway Community Church. And we're not doing this for the sake of growth, of church growth. That's going to be a byproduct of it. But what we're doing it, the reason we're doing it, is because our commander-in-chief has said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It's time to get it outside of these four walls. It's time to take all of this glorious teaching and knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given us now, as we've all walked in the message of the cross together. It's God's time for this church. I'm telling you right now, it's God's time for Crossway Community Church. And I believe he's extending before us and he's saying, "Here's what I want you to do. Will you do it?" And you know the beautiful thing about this is something that with very little effort on our part, we can prepare ourselves to do. Now, can I just be flat honest with y'all for a minute? And Michelle, I don't want to embarrass you. If you disagree with me, you feel free to. But didn't those nights we was going down there on the square, didn't that just wear you out? Physically. I'd worked all day, and I know those of you that showed up and helped us out. I was flat wore out. I was totally physically drained by us going through all of that. And at times, to further the gospel, it is going to require hard work. But what the Lord has given for this body to do will be very simple. Just like resting in the cross of Christ when we're liberated from all that hard work of trying to sanctify ourselves and justify ourselves through human effort. How the cross liberates from that? This plan of evangelism liberates us from having to go out and spend a lot of money, first of all. I don't know how much money we sunk into those outreaches. We had, I think, one soul that Mahari won to the Lord on the street. And praise God for that. That's made it worth it all. It really did. But I believe that which the Lord has given for us to do right now is far better than doing things like that that cost a lot of money to do. This is something that we can do in our everyday lives that doesn't cost a lot of money, that is simple to do, really. And God, we will reap fruits of it for following after God and following His commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it doesn't take a theologian. Well, in a sense it does. It takes somebody who knows and understands the gospel. But it don't take somebody with a theological degree from Harvard to spread the gospel. If you look at Andrew and Peter and Philip, these guys were the roughest and crudest of individuals. I mean, you talk about the original 12 disciples. If you look at their lives, you talk about a dirty dozen. You had a dirty dozen there. These guys were of the lowest social strata. They didn't know how to talk. They didn't know how to speak. They were looked upon by society as the total outcasts and the lowlifes. But they gave their hearts to Jesus, and they committed to follow him. And he turned them in to stalwarts for the kingdom of God. God will do that with anybody that will, in obedience, further his heartbeat and further his agenda. And we've heard it preached. You've heard me preach it. How often that why don't churches say, God, what is your agenda? And as far as following the gospel, this church has been tremendously successful in that. Because you can't attend Crossway Community Church for very long if you're not interested in really the true gospel of Jesus Christ and following after what the Bible says. If you're looking for something else, you won't be happy here, because that's what we offer. But now where the Lord wants to take us to is one step beyond that. And it's going to be glorious. You can win your families. You can win your families. And through your efforts, I believe this with all of my heart. Jesus said, cast your bread out on the waters. And not many days hence, it'll return to you. I believe there's a spiritual application to that scripture that says if we'll go and make God's agenda our agenda and cast our bread on the waters, in other words, preach the gospel when he gives us the chance, if you can't win your family for whatever reason, God's going to send somebody their way who can. For you casting your bread and you following his agenda. But you can win your family. That's what happened right here in John chapter 2. All these folks were related to one another. And they were the lowest of the social strata. But God, I want to tell you something right now. I don't know if you ever thought of it this way. What an honor it is to have your name in this holy book. You can get your name printed in a lot of places that man would, a who's who's list or top 10 billionaires or whatever. But there's nothing that compares to having your name printed by the Holy Ghost in this book. And these men whom the world looked down upon as ineffective, the lowest of the low, their names are mentioned as stalwarts in the Word of God. All because they obeyed and they said, we'll take the gospel to our world, Lord. We'll follow you. And this is simple. I know some of you are probably sitting there thinking, well, Pastor, this is not earth-shattering. I'm not trying to be earth-shattering. I'm trying to merely present the beginning stages of what the Lord wants this church to do to get the message of the cross to a lost and dying world. Our world. Our world. Our sphere of influence. And I'm going to do my best as God will help me in the coming weeks to equip you to where you'll at least feel confident and I know what to tell somebody when God sends them my way now. And hopefully the Holy Spirit will give us all revelation on what's going on spiritually in that person's life, because this is the same for everybody. What I have given to you is the same exact process that will bring everybody to Jesus Christ. It will never vary. I don't care if you're talking to a CEO or a wino on the street. First, there must be Holy Ghost conviction. They must be convinced I'm not right with God, and I have no help of ever making myself right with God through my human effort. There must be a conversation then of the message of the cross and how only through Christ and him crucified and exclusive faith in that can they be made right with God. And then step 3, conversion, where they admit, I am a sinner, and I need Jesus and what he did on the cross. And at that point in time, they're saved. That's something we can all do. That's inexpensive. And if we'll make up our mind as a body. I pray everyone will. I'm not so naive as to believe everybody's going to do this, even in our small body. But I think you all know me well enough as your pastor by now. When I feel God has spoken to me, just like it did when I received the message of the cross, I'll do my best to please him. Because I want to see your family members come to God. I want this message out there. I know there's a lost and dying church. Not only the world, there's a lost and dying church out there. There's a lost and dying world out there. And they're waiting to hear the gospel. They're waiting to hear something that will liberate them from their sin and give them joy and peace and let them know that God is really real. But as we made mention of during the revival this week, there's so little gospel preached behind pulpits today. And most of the witnessing things that are done today, they have games, they have parties, just hoping people will come and hang out and convince people that we're just coming with us and hanging out, you'll become a Christian. Some of the largest churches in America, that's their evangelism philosophy. Be they Pentecostal or otherwise, that's their evangelism philosophy. We're going to keep program after program going. We're going to keep something going all the time. And it wears everybody out, drains everybody who has to put these things on. And you have pastors, unfortunately, that are beating them, that have them convinced if they don't run like hamsters in a cage, that they're not doing nothing for God. And they're exhausting all kind of effort and accomplishing very little. You say, oh, but look at how fast their church has grown. Look how big it is. I search the internet at times for big churches. I go to their websites. I do. And the first thing I do when I see this on the, oh, we've grown by leave, we've, you know, done all this, as hear our pastor's messages. That's the first place I go to. And soon as you go there, almost without exception, if it's some church that is claiming some astronomical growth, they are so worldly, they're little more than a social club. Now, I know that don't make a lot of people do flip-flops, but I'm telling you the truth. And I'm talking about across all genres of beliefs, Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Methodist, whatever you want to be. The draw is everything but Jesus Christ. And this world, and I believe God, is waiting for a church and a people that'll stand up and say, we're going to carry the gospel. It may not produce success in the eyes of the world, but it'll produce success in the eyes of God if we'll just go and tell them it's Christ and Him crucified. That's what they're hungry to hear. There are people seated in churches this morning that run thousands that are there, and if you would ask them, I'll guarantee you, if you would go and ask them, convinced they're saved. Why are you saved? Well, this church just had a real good family-oriented program, and we just started coming and hanging out with them, and we're just glad to be here. We've got friends here. We've got so many friends here. You know, a recent Barna study that I read, I found it quite intriguing. It was Rick Warren's group did a study. And they did stumble on a little bit of truth on this one. I got to give them credit. Rick said he found that once a person becomes socially, this is why he preaches such a social gospel, once they become socially ensconced in a church, they usually won't leave it even if there's a pastoral change. Why? Because we have friends there. Because we have friends there. See, that shows you how twisted America is and why and what it chooses in a church. I want to make sure I've got one friend in the church I attend, Jesus Christ. And I thank God for other ones, but if he's not there, you're in trouble. And if you're not taught how to be his friend, you can have all the friends in the religious body that you could ever hope to have, and you're going to die lost. You're going to die lost. I've seen it across the strata. I've done my research on it. I've done my homework. And that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is calling us to take this gospel to our world. I'm going to close now. Dwight L. Moody, the famous evangelist, he had probably won more souls to the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry in the 19th century than any other living human. And Dwight L. Moody was one of the most obtuse figures to look at you'd ever want to see. He stood about 5'4", weighed well over 300 pounds, could not speak hardly for anything. As far as public speaking goes, Charles Spurgeon said about him, he said, "I don't know how he wins a soul to the Lord. I can't understand half of what he says." Spurgeon himself being a tremendous orator and preacher of the gospel. But Moody won more souls to the kingdom than he did in his ministry. How? Because Moody said as a very young man, when his Sunday school teacher led him to the Lord and he saw the glory of who Jesus was, he said, "I made up my mind then that I would take whatever small abilities I had to tell other people that Jesus loves them and that Jesus died for them and they don't have to go to hell." You see, Moody had the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and life and ministry. That's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. That's how he was able to accomplish what he did. And people that have studied his ministries, and particularly Pentecostals, they say there's no clear example in modern church history of someone who accomplished what they did for the kingdom of God exclusively through the power of the Holy Spirit than the ministry of Dwight L. Moody. Because the man had no human giftings at all to do it. He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he had divine enablement. But he had that for a reason. Because he aligned his goal and agenda with God's goal and agenda. It's a can't fire equation, can't miss, can't fail equation. It's a surefire, results guaranteed equation. That when anybody says, "God, I'm aligning my agenda with your agenda. I'm making your priority my priority." You're going to see the power of God in your life when that happens. And you may not be the most skilled of orators. You may not be able to memorize large sections of the Word of God and memorize scripture after scripture. You only got to memorize a few, not many at all. And I'm going to be training you on which ones to use when you talk to people. And I'm even going to be asking you to write down the oppositions you get so we can talk about them and confront them scripturally. From people. If you ever run up against somebody and they stump you, know this, have this confidence. I had to learn this early on when I shared the gospel with some very brilliant people. Nobody's smarter than God. You'll never encounter nobody that's smarter than God. And he'll give you the answer and he'll give you the refutation for whatever they can come up with. He'll give it to you through his word. It'll be found right there. And we'll find it together if need be. And I'm not going to ask for some dramatic altar call and show, "Will you do this this morning?" My job, and the Lord instructed me this way, is just to present it to this body. And to present the challenge that he's setting forth to this body. And it's up to your individual hearts on whether you do it or not. But one thing's not going to change. I've got my marching orders from the Lord. He's told me to preach his word in a way and address the issue of equipping you to be witnesses for his kingdom. And if just 3 or 4 of us do, that's fine. 12 men changed the face of the world for God. The known world. And they did it. And they did it. Without TV, without radio, without the printed media, and without electronic enhancement. They did it with the power of the Holy Ghost as they aligned their desires with what God wanted them to do. This can happen, church. This can happen. And you just got the start of it today. This is God's agenda for Crossway Community Church. We've got the right message. We've got the right message. Now I believe with all of my heart, he's given us the method to get the message outside of these four walls. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, as I look out over this crowd, I know everyone here today loves the Lord. But I want to ask. I just felt the Holy Ghost check me. I'm going to ask you this morning one more time. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? And you might say, I don't know if I even believe in Jesus. I'm here to tell you, you're going to one day. You and human pride and arrogance and try and deny Him now. But you're going to be a believer in Jesus one day. There's a day coming, you'll march in before Him and you'll stand before Him, the Lord of glory. And you'll believe then. But then it'll be too late. And you will realize your foolish, selfish, arrogant human pride sent you to a burning hell for all of eternity. Where your body will be resurrected, not unto glorification, but you'll be given an eternal body when the judgment is passed on you. And that body will feel the sting and the burn of the flames of hell forever and ever and ever. And the worst part of it all, the worst part of hell will not be the torment of the flames. The worst part of hell is going to be knowing I didn't have to be here. I did not have to be here. I say what I say now in love. It's bold, but I say it. Every time you renounce Jesus Christ and you sit under an altar call, you're heating up the torment of hell 100 times hotter for you. Because every time you rejected Jesus, every time you turned your back when you heard a gospel presentation, you'll think of in the eternal torment of hell. And no, I didn't have to be here. Go on in your pride and arrogance now, sir or madam, rejecting Jesus. In His love and grace and mercy, He'll allow you to do so. But you're never going to be able to point a finger at this preacher and say, nobody warned me. Nobody told me. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? I'm talking about Almighty God who spoke this world into existence. He is alive. He is not dead. I don't care what some whacked out college professor or some high school teacher tells you. He is Almighty God. He has a Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life on the cross for your sin and my sin. And you will step into an eternity where you'll live forever. Are you right with Him? Because that's all that's going to matter. You're going to believe in Him one day. And you're going to believe far greater than you've ever imagined. You'll see Him in His glory. And you'll shed and rich in your body as you stand before Him. If you've rejected Him time and time again. Knowing, oh my God, what was I thinking? Oh my God, what was I thinking? Why did I allow pride and arrogance to enter my heart and shun Him? Are you right with Him? You've heard the message this morning. You can be right with Him. But it's going to take the sacrifice of your pride. It's going to take the sacrifice of your arrogance. And you're going to have to bend your knee before Him and say, I'm a sinner, Lord. And I don't want to die lost. I asked Your blood to cleanse me from my sin. He'll even wipe away the sin and the pride and the arrogance. And years of turning your back on Him. If you want Jesus, get to this altar now. Your eternal destiny's on the line one more time. We're not playing tiddlywinks this morning. God's not playing tiddlywinks. If you want Jesus, you come now and you hit this altar. I'm not giving some namby-pamby little raise your hand altar call this morning. If He's convicting you, you better get to this altar and fall flat on your face before the Lord of glory and pray for His grace and mercy. Is that you? Do you need that? Come now. Come now. If that's you, praise God. Praise God. Paul, come pray with him. Would you? Chris, come pray with him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody else who will now. Is there any others? Are there any others? Thank you, Lord. You check me. Thank you. You stop me. I'm going to ask everyone who else who will then. Would you come and present yourself at the altar of the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you for the witness of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Brandon home this morning. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice. Just lift your hands and praise Him. The angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. Lord, we all love Brandon. And Lord, thank you that you brought him home this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, I'm asking you as a body now. I know what I presented this morning was very, very simple. But it's God's plan for us. Judge what I preach to you by the word of God on whether or not you feel God's given me what I've presented to you this morning. And He's asking us, He's asking Crossway Community Church. I can't speak for every other church in town, but I'm speaking for us. He's asking you, will you carry my gospel to your world? When I give you the opportunity, will you take my gospel to a lost and dying world? And saying, I can't speak right or I don't know enough Bible, that's no excuse. You knew enough to get washed in the blood of Jesus. You know enough then to tell somebody else, here's what He did for me and here's how He did it. That's not hard, church. And I'm not asking, as I said, for a show of hands or anything. I'm just asking in the holy of holy places, your heart. If you believe that which I've delivered today, that God gave it to me and you want to be a part of it, just ask Him in your heart today, Lord, or tell Him, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I know maybe some feel very fearful or they don't feel confident. Lord, I don't know if I can do this or not. Let me tell you something. In our human flesh, none of us can. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. What happened to Brandon this morning? It took the power of the Holy Ghost to do that. That's not the force of oratory. That's the Holy Ghost at work right there. He'll do that for anybody that'll carry the gospel, that'll preach it right. The Holy Spirit will assist you. And you may think my effort is so weak and stumbling, but if you know enough to tell them, He shed His blood for you, and you've fallen short of His glory. And if you'll trust in Him exclusively, God will make you right. That's not that hard. And you're going to get confronted at times. You'll make maybe some folks angry, even ones He's led you to. And I'll do my best. I covenant with you on this. I don't have all the answers, but I'll do my best as your pastor. If you'll bring it in here on Wednesday night when I'm doing the teaching, say, Pastor, here's what this person confronted me with this week, and I'm trying to win them to the Lord. We'll talk it over, and we'll pray until we hear from heaven, and God gives us an answer to refute whatever they're throwing at you, because nobody's smarter than God. So in your heart, Crossway, if you feel, hey, it's simple, but I believe Pastor heard from God on this, and I want to be a part of it. Determine it in your heart right now and just ask Him. Say, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go this way. You can't deny that this is His agenda. You can't deny that this is His heartbeat. And it's something everybody can do if they'll just say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Let's pray now as we're dismissed, and let's just lift our hands and thank Him. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we've been privileged to be and to receive the revelation of Christ and Him crucified. And Lord, it only took 12 men, Lord, who said, and there's been women and others throughout centuries, but that original 12 was all it took to bring they're the reason, Lord, we're in this church this morning. Of course, it was your death on the cross. But had they told you no, and they wouldn't have taken and sacrificed some of their very lives for the cause of the gospel, we would not be in this church today. And Lord, throughout history, there have been other men and women that sacrificed all for this gospel to go forward because it's eternal. It saves souls. It's the only thing that does. Let us not look at ourselves as being small in number. Lord, we're not small in number in the sight of heaven. There's an army of God around this altar this morning. And we've got our marching orders now. You gave them to us long ago, but we're just coming back to what's already been revealed, just like we did with the message of the cross. And Lord, I pray you'll help me to be a good pastor, to equip these saints of God that are saying, that have said in their heart this morning, I'll do this for you, Lord Jesus. You've done so much for me. I'll do this for you. It's such a simple request of you to ask of me. And Lord Jesus, I thank you because I believe this is revolutionary for this church. Lord, if you would just open our eyes today to what's going on in the spirit realm. I believe that for years, wherever you take us to, for years to come, I believe we'll be able to point back to this day and say the day we decided as a body to take the truth of the gospel to the world, everything changed in our church. And Lord, I thank you and I give you praise for allowing me to pastor these people. Lord, I've done my best to hear from you and to deliver that which I've heard. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you praise and glory for souls that are going to be won to the kingdom, just like Rita. Lord, at times on a break while we're at the job, or Lord, at the supermarket, wherever, you're going to help us to do it. And you're going to see us, give us a harvest of souls. I know it, Lord Jesus. This is what you want. Lord, I thank you for this service today. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit has been present. I thank you, Lord, for Brandon that's come home this morning. I've prayed for him for so many months, and I know his mom has as this church has. Your hands on Brandon's life, Lord. Satan tried to steal it, but praise God. Praise God you reached out to him today. And Lord, we give you all praise and honor and glory today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Just praise him for a few moments, church. I think you sense the somberness. I think everybody in their spirit senses the amen of heaven on what the direction we're going as a church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise today. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Brandon, did the Lord save you today? You don't know. That's good, buddy. I appreciate your honesty on that. Let me ask you this. Did you pray and ask him back into your life today? Did you put your faith in the cross for him to cleanse you from all sin? I mean, that's a yes or a no. Did you do it or not? I'm not trying to embarrass you, but we'll talk later, okay? I'll just talk to you later. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. And thank you for being in the house of God this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today, and I believe this has been a monumental day in the spirit realm for Crossway Community Church. Help us, Lord. Go with us now. And Lord, there are some around this altar, I know, they need a touch of the Holy Ghost. They need strength this morning. They're facing problems, and they're facing situations that are so perplexing and they're so difficult that seem to have no answer, but you are the answer, Lord Jesus. And with their faith in you, they're going to see those things solved. Minister unto them right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, go with us until we meet again on Wednesday night. We give you praise, honor, and glory, Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you so much. You're dismissed.